are you?
Where am I? Anyway, we'll record it from here. Go ahead.
Peter,
sounds like you're doing fine without me. So
no, well, we miss you. Peter is just telling us that he's working on his menus,
mm-hmm.
and that he has a $37 check average at night, with including alcohol. He has a graying demographic across from a theater, and
yeah, I'm familiar with his operation.
Yep,
so
been here.
Have you been there?
Been there a few times.
So I'm just wondering, I worked with a restaurant in Williamsburg, Virginia, and we pored over his demographics and the situation that, are you a kind of place where in the 3 months when things are hopping, you have one kind of a restaurant, and in the other 9 months, it's a whole other ball game?
It absolutely has a different feel, just by the sheer numbers and the fact that in the summertime you have to wait to get a table, lunch and dinner pretty much, from open to close.
Right.
And that happens currently this time of year, only on the weekends and for an hour at
mm-hmm.
best.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a real challenge to develop a sort of a steady year-round clientele in this area. A lot of places just close the doors and operate seasonally.
Yes. I would coach you to think really outside the box, or whatever the new way of saying that is now. Think of your restaurant as two separate restaurants as far as the menu is concerned and some of the marketing that you do. Who you want to take care of and pamper during the 9 months are the locals. And they will require a different menu, a different approach, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, in my restaurant, we had a similar that I owned. We had a similar situation, and we had conventions. So it wasn't a nine months on and 3 months, kind of a thing. It was when the conventions were in town. So we gave our regular customers a special phone number. But you really, in this restaurant that I worked with in Williamsburg, we did different tabletop. We were able to bring out much better china and silverware and things to upgrade it. He wanted national recognition. He could never get it in the summer when Williamsburg was filled with tourists. But in the winter, in the other 9 months, he was able to really establish it. I don't know where your goals are and your style, but there's just so many different things you can do in those 9 months that you can't do in the 3 months and that aren't welcome. Do you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
I would consider very different menus.
Yeah.
And very different menus. You want speed in the summer. You want things that have a broader, younger base. Much different situation than in the winter. You may want to look at
the only problems we've experienced in trying to do that things in years past was that the people that were here in the winter resented the change suddenly in the summer. There are restaurants in the area, and years ago they were notorious for having
jacking the prices up.
Right, and I know that's not what you're talking about. You're talking
about
in content. But
I'd actually give the nine-monthers more, a prefix that's special for them. I would just cater to them.
And I'd market it that way.
Yeah, absolutely. A prefix for them, specials for them that are more laborious, that take advantage of the seasonal situation, that highlight the holidays, where you just became their favorite place to go for whatever. I don't know Scargo yet to say what it is, but if I were there, I would know. You can't do the same menu those because you're just two different restaurants. I'm sure your regulars 9 months. They don't want to be hurried.
Well, that's true. Definitely service style changes.
Service style changes. I bet your kitchen changes.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm probably the talent and the speed and turn time and. So that's your challenge, and that's fun.
Yeah.
Oh, and can you make that work for you? What do you think? Tim?
Yeah.
What do you think?
It sounds good, and, you know, there may be a way to slip items on the menu on the back page or something that maintain the favorites price point and just kind of downplay them, but they can find them. I know we have a prime rib sandwich value here that is just unbelievable, and we can slip it in the middle of a whole list of items in that. The people that have always ordered it will still order it.
They find it.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things I've seen work real well is this idea of not on the menu. You know, it's we have it, but
special
for them. We can make it for you, but you have to know to ask for it.
Right.
Because people love to be able to do things that other people can't do. And so if they know about it, it gives them a leg up over the... I mean, they'll go in because they can sit there next to the tourists and get something the tourists can't get.
Do you have before and after showtime things?
Yes, actually, we do to some extent. We've more or less tried in years past to really develop a late-night clientele after the shows, but it's like banging your head against the wall. It's too late anyway.
Is it?
Yeah, the shows get out at 10 o'clock at night, and by the time they get over here in order, I mean, it's sort of a blessing in disguise, I guess.
Yeah. See, I wouldn't look at it as hiding anything or negative in any way. I would look at it as totally positive. I would position the menu during the showtime as we take care of you in a hurry because we know that's what you're interested in. And we've got these, and I would give them the best, you know, I would figure it all out, and I would encourage pre-order, I would encourage all kinds of things. If they have to wait any time, you take their order, you know, you create this whole bill, this is your field, your whole energy, menu energy around, we take care of you and honor your time schedule. It's all about you and going to the theater. And, you know, they could, oh, gosh, you could do all kinds of things. I'm not there, but I don't know if you couldn't do dessert after, you know, where they had a little ticket and they came back for dessert. And you do all kinds, that way you get them back, all kinds of prefix things where this meal, you know, and you just make their ordering process so easy.
Right.
And, I don't know, maybe we're not helping you, maybe we're off track, but.
That dessert is an excellent idea. We did that with hockey games, and people are always too full for dessert. And 10 o'clock is too late to eat, but it's not too late to visit with the friends and talk about the show and have a couple of liqueurs. And that's an excellent idea.
Do you have hockey in where you are, right near Calgary, of course?
Yes.
Mm. So, yeah, and for you, Tim, sometimes the menu may want to take on some of that fun and some of your history. And Peter, yours is, you know, you could have special menus that tie to the shows. What kind of shows are across the street?
Well, it's an actual summer stock theater, so we have, you know, everything from musicals on down. We've had a lot of celebrities in over the years. The summertime isn't even a time to, that we really need to build business by any means. I mean, we are maxed out. So it is that fringe season, the other 6 months that we tend to focus all our energies on.
Mm-hmm.
The summer is sort of a, it just comes, it's easy.
Mm-hmm.
And actually we've almost tried to do just the opposite and tried to separate ourselves to some degree from the theater crowd because they did tend to jam us up. They really require a little more attention than we're really set up to give, meaning they want reservations, and we don't take reservations. It's more of a casual setting.
Mm-hmm.
We do take them for larger parties just as an accommodation, but that tends to discourage some of the theater goers and prevents us from, you know, getting into a seating situation either, because they all used to descend upon us when we first opened 15
mm-hmm.
years ago. They'd all walk in the door 2 hours before showtime, and they'd, of course, all get up and leave 2 hours 2 hours later, which was a time that really was too late to catch another turn. So it turned by discouraging them, we turned from a one-and-a-half-turn house into a three-turn house.
Mm-hmm.
So sort of, other than a couple of matinees during the lunch on Wednesdays and Thursdays, we don't have a whole lot of desire to align ourselves any more with the theater than we do currently. Although it's a, you know, it's a landmark, and certainly, you know, it does give us a small customer base. But not without some problems.
Mm-hmm.
We actually operated a second location on the theater grounds for a few years in order to try and recapture that business. And even in that captive audience situation, found that it was a lot more work than it was worth.
Mm-hmm. So, do you do box lunches and things, or isn't it that kind of theater?
No, we don't, although we've considered it.
Mm-hmm.
We really need more space.
Got a good kitchen?
Yep. They do a nice job.
Got a good kitchen, a big enough kitchen?
No. Are they ever?
Well... The way to make a 100-seat restaurant and bigger is to cater, is to use the kitchen 24 hours and sell your food off-premise.
Yeah.
And
we cater some clam bakes in the summer,
mm-hmm.
Which always tend to be booked at the busiest times of the season anyway.
Yeah.
But we definitely could use some more space.
Mm-hmm. Well, and how big is your menu? How many items?
About 30 menu, 30 full menu items.
Uh-huh. And that's comfortable. You feel that's the right size.
Yeah. I'd like to make it a little smaller just to streamline it, but a lot of them are, many of them cross-utilize items. So.
Right. Well,
for the other 9 months of the year, Peter, the good news is that almost all of the memorable holidays all during that time, special occasions, Thanksgiving, Christmas, Valentine's, Easter, and all of that. Is there something there that you could really connect with the locals and expand that season?
I've always found, at least with the holidays like Thanksgiving and Easter, and that by the time you actually spend all the energy to create a special menu for that day, market it, advertise it, that it oftentimes just seems like so much work it doesn't, it's easier for us to sort of just cruise through those holidays and kiss them goodbye. We're looking for the routine, the daily, being a part of everyday life for folks, and it's easy enough to capitalize them if we do it, but it just always seems by the time you spend, especially the advertising dollars, I can't understand how some restaurants just spend money like it's water on advertising. I just can't see how they could possibly do enough people to get the money back.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find that?
Well, particularly on some of those holidays, it's not like that's accomplishing anything for you.
Yeah.
Because everybody else has got out there with the same ads for their Easter brunch or their Mother's Day brunch.
Thanksgiving or...
Yeah.
I would think, Peter, that your route to advertising would be email. Although maybe you said you're 60 plus is your demographic.
Well, no, not it was years ago. We've actually aggressively tried to bring in a younger crowd, marketed to local businesses and that kind of thing. We actually have a huge email list. I haven't done anything with it in a little while, and I'm actually...
That's the way I do holidays.
Yeah. Well, that's true, yeah.
Yeah, because that makes it come right to your house.
It went right by me, too, and it didn't even dawn me to use it.
I think advertising in the newspaper is old. I mean, that's like snail mail. It's over.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things, Phil, I don't know if you've checked the website. I volunteered us for a project, Phyllis Ann.
You did?
I did. But I liked your title on it. One of the things, because Peter's going to be out. Are you coming out or is your brother coming out for the song?
We both are.
Oh, great. Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
And it's sort of under the title of Marketing Secrets of the Soup Nazi. which is kind of say, we've got it, but you can't have it.
That's right.
Or we've got it, but and if you want it, this is what you got to do to get it. Or there's only, we're doing Easter brunch, there's only 75 seats, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
That type of thing. And then when the offer goes out, you've got a little bit of urgency with it. You've got something that's a little bit special about it. And it's more than just saying, we're going to try to get as many people in here as we possibly can.
Right, that's true.
Because figure out what you spend in advertising and say, God, that's if I don't spend that money, that's 40 less lunches I have to serve and still come out with the same amount of money.
Yeah.
Well, Peter, be sure, and you and your brother, Dave is his name?
Yes.
Bring some of your menus with you. Bring a packet of stuff.
Absolutely.
So that we can sit down and take a look at it, because... And try to tell me what your signature items, what your most popular items on the menu, I want to learn the story of Scargo.
Sure.
Because I don't get it right now. I mean, I haven't seen it. I'm visual. I haven't seen anything. But I know if you show me some stuff, bring some pictures. And, Tim, you've got to come. Can't you come? You and I have talked two or three times.
We have.
It's time to meet. Come to Bill. Don't you think Tim needs to come?
I think so.
I do.
He even gets the discount, so it makes the Canadian dollars work.
Did you say at par?
You'll get a lot more out of this than you will out of the show.
Yeah, I would say.
I mean,
let me look at it again.
We'd love to have you. I don't want to put you in an embarrassing situation, but we'd love to have you. And with the updating that you're wanting to do, why?
Matter of fact, what we'll throw into it is since you're in on the teleconference, the special teleconference deal is we'll give you the extra. Now you won't be able to get this online. I'll have to credit it back when you come on. But the extra early sign up discount. That's another $50.
Great. So thank you. That's generous.
Yeah, so that's what, $200 off or something like that. Yeah.
Okay. I'll decide real fast.
Okay.
So your goals, Peter, are to redo your menu. What other goals do you have for this year? Where are you? You said you loved Tim's $7.2 million. Where are you?
1.7.
1.7. So you want to go to 2.7,
oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's keep that in mind when we're redoing those menus and we seem to get stuck. Let's remember, we want to go to 2.7. So that's from 1.7 to 2.7, it means some changes, some major new ways to do things. And it's clear you got the opportunity. With a $37 check average and 100 seats, ooh, this is fun. Bill, what's it like at Scargo Cafe? Tell me.
It sort of fits you like an old pair of jeans.
Uh huh. Comfortable.
Good jeans. I mean, good quality, not with the holes in the knees. But it's not. I mean, it's nothing pretentious at all. It's kind of kick back and eat well and be well cared for.
Well, that's a great compliment.
Oh, well, thank you.
And that's my take.
From what I remember, I don't think Bill's actually had the ultimate experience here either. I think the last time he was in, my daughter waited on her second week working here.
Yeah, I think that's right.
She was totally embarrassed, and I don't think she thought she could show her face in here again. Actually, as a joke, I put your little. A caricature as a screensaver at the host stand, and the staff was apprised that you were coming in, and I think they were all trembling.
Oh God!
They thought you were.
They got it, you know.
They thought you were the Boston restaurant critic.
Yeah, the fandom gourmet we have here in Boston.
Yeah.
Peter, tell me about your write-ups. Are you in the Zagat and different things?
No, and actually, I'm amazed because we're in everything but Zagat's. And a young upstart restaurant that is owned by a former cook of mine that I had to fire because he was too drunk to work, actually was a waiter and he took over a place up the street.
Mm-hmm.
And they were written up after being open for 9 months. So
mm-hmm.
I know they have never been here. And I, good or bad, I'd love for them to come. I mean, just for the press. I don't think. We're not fine dining by any means.
Zagat's all done by the diners.
Yeah, Zagat's done by the people.
Yeah.
So if you're not in the Zagat, that's telling. I would say, excuse me, but I would say you're too laid back.
Really?
I'd say you need a kick.
Yeah.
You need to bump it up. Because there's a way, the ways to get the Zagat. Question me on this when we get to, where are we going? Seattle. And I'll talk to you about it.
Well, just tell me briefly, what do you mean that it's done by the readers?
Well, there, first of all, you have to get noticed by the restaurant writers, and there are groups of them.
Okay.
Second of all, I would go on thezagat.com.
Oh, I have, but that's what I meant. I mean, I know that the actual rating is done by the readers, but, I mean, the restaurant writers are the ones that have to...
they write the little blurb.
Yeah.
They write the little blurb, but there are forms that you can send for.
Hmm.
And when I have different clients, I send for the forms and pass them out.
Hmm.
I pass them out to my friends, and I ask them to, if they like a restaurant that I'm working on, that they would say something about it. I never, you know, bribe anybody, but
right.
You can also give it to your friends and family and
sure.
and employees. So that's one thing. Another is, you know, to get some restaurant write-ups around locally to work on that. Do you have some signature items on your menu?
Yeah, and we're written up somewhat regularly in the local paper and that kind of thing. We've had a lot of favorable press over the years. And
good. Do you have that framed in the restaurant?
Yeah, they did a feature on our, actually they did a local chef's feature for a while and they used us as the first one.
Good.
Where a reporter came and spent the day in the kitchen with the chef and, you know, it was a full front page of the food section with pictures of the kitchen and the operation and a review and a favorite recipe and all that kind of thing. So
wonderful.
Bon Appetit wrote us years ago, the Reader's column, they wrote us for our grape nut custard recipe. I guess there's a column in Bon Appetit where, you know, readers want their favorite recipe and Bon Appetit writes on the reader's behalf
right.
to get the recipe for them. I think it's supposedly after the restaurant won't give it out or something.
Uh-huh.
But someone probably called here and asked for it and whoever they spoke to couldn't give it to them. But anyway, it was years ago and we've touted that quite a bit. The recipe is
good.
On our website. And
this is good stuff.
Yeah.
So we might probably need something recent now. Something new.
Yeah, absolutely.
Have you got a new chef? This other guy went down the street, and who'd you get?
Oh, no, he was just a cook. I mean, that's what I mean.
He's a cook.
He was a prep cook, actually.
Has your chef got whites and then his name on uniform and
no,
he comes
and
out?
A she.
A she?
It's a she.
That's even better.
Yeah. No, she's a kitchen manager chef, I would say.
Okay.
She is a certified hotel restaurant in the whole nine yards, but I was rather reluctant for years to, you know, get into the chef thing, and it's only recently that I've even allowed the term to be used here, but it's always been a culinary team that we tried to hire and work together.
Mm-hmm.
But in, you know, it's gotten somewhat tired recently, and it probably is time to, you know, try to come up with some new things.
Okay, if in your heart, Peter, I trust you
mm-hmm.
to know, because I'm not there. I have to listen to your voice carefully and use my intuition. So I hear you've got reservations. One of the ways to do this, and Bill, this is what we're talking about on the tape, and I didn't answer your question really well. When you have a kitchen manager, somebody that you don't really feel is strong enough or makes a good enough appearance or speaks well enough to be out in the public representing you, you can sometimes bring in a famous local or Boston, probably, chef as a consultant.
Oh, okay?
This works wonders with the press.
Hmm.
You bring them in, you know, regularly to just tweak your menu. I can coach you in this. And then, you know, that you can sometimes use that person's name on the menu or at least get a couple of press articles out of it. Because kitchen's everything today. And that, if you had a chef that went, or the cook that went down the road, there may be some vibes on the streets about losing your chef and not replacing them. You know, that's always loud on the streets. Well, they fired their chef and they didn't replace him. That happens a lot. They just promoted the sous.
Right.
Well, you know, that's fine if the sous all of a sudden steps into a major role, but if all of a sudden the kitchen's quiet, press doesn't respond much to quiet kitchen.
Right.
So anyway, we've got lots to talk about, and it sounds like it's funny. I tell you another thing that I'm confused over in our conversation. Bill Marvin's conversation about how it's nice jeans and laid back and real comfort, and you're telling me that you used to have white hair.
That doesn't go together.
When
he says old jeans, I think he just means it's a comfortable, this is a converted colonial home. It was originally they say a sea captain's house, but it really wasn't a sea captain. So it's an older home.
Oh, nice.
It has a real, almost New England-y feel, even though the additions that we put on are somewhat modern. We tried to maintain some of the New England comfortable charm. It has a colonial living room feel, I think, almost.
Yeah, it's more of that. I mean, it's sort of, you know, I sort of use jeans just as a level of how
you'd feel comfortable wearing jeans?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You'd feel comfortable dressed as well, and that's really where the eclectic mix comes. I mean, folks come here dressed to the nines before the theater, and yet somebody next to them will be sitting in shorts and a T-shirt.
Mm-hmm. Gosh, that's nice.
So it has a comfortable living room feel, I guess, is what I almost would call it.
But got a bar?
Yeah, very small, but yeah.
Got small plates on the menu?
No, and that's really one of the things I'd consider doing, although I'm really frightened by it. I'm very frightened by it, and I read constantly how, you know, it's going to boot the check average up, but I just don't see it happening here. I think if I offered small plates, people would buy the small plates, and that's it. A lot of them, especially in the off season, which is the time I want to build.
Uh huh.
The summer, maybe it would be.
Well, the question is, if they could get in, if your margins were good on those items, and the margins are typically a little better than you know the starch.
No, I see that, but I just don't see them enough better so that you could absorb the fact that they're going to buy less things. I mean, I don't know, but. Could be. It seems to, I feel as if we've maxed this place out in the summertime, and I may be wrong. I mean, I just feel like we've squeezed every last dollar out of the people without feeling like we're doing that. I mean, you know, we're big into suggestive selling, but we're not pushy. You know, I'm constantly trying to train the staff to at least offer the call liquor. You know, and you know,
do people eat at the bar?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
In the summer and in the winter.
Yeah, both. And actually, we're in an area, we got real ballsy about 8 years ago and went smoke-free when it was not quite stylish to do so. We were the first restaurant in our area with a bar that you could that was actually smoke-free. And we kissed a little bit of our clientele goodbye when we did so, but it paid off slowly over the subsequent years. And recently, a year ago, the entire Cape went smoke-free, so all our smokers are actually starting to come back to us again.
Good!
So I was afraid when everyone went smoke-free, we'd lose our shtick, but it actually hasn't been bad.
Have you analyzed your day parts in the winter?
In what way?
Well, look to see if there's something you need to do specially on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday kind of a thing versus Thursday, Friday, Saturday when you're hot. I'm assuming you're hotter, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I haven't really done so seriously. Certainly given a lot of thought, but no. The big thing is lunch. I see that as the one real room for growth.
Mm.
Even in the summer, we could, you know, do a little more at lunchtime.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we're competing with the beaches.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Great. So the focus, the growth is lunch and winter dinners and maybe some way to go outside without clam bakes. Some look at that. Some new menu renovation. Some possible massaging of the kitchen staff to make it stronger somehow. An approach to get some press, particularly Zagat.
Yeah, that really,
that bugs you.
Just as a personal life. Yeah.
That would bug me, too.
Yeah.
I haven't seen the Boston one. Bring it with you.
Okay.
I used to know, that's Washington. I don't know who writes in Boston. Hmm.
We're in all the other guides, Frommers, and they all like us pretty well. Are recommended by Frommers. And that was sort of a challenge. I mean, they only pick a couple of restaurants in the entire town, so.
That was good.
Yeah.
That, what's the movie about the Boston pizza? What was that? The Cape Pizza. Remember that?
Mystic Pizza.
Mystic Pizza.
That's in Connecticut.
Yeah. Oh, Connecticut, sorry. I should have known that.
In the neighborhood.
Tim?
Yes.
What do you hear? Anything?
Wish I could go there.
Yeah, we all want to come for dinner, Peter.
Okay.
Especially now with the snow outside.
How's your lobster? Good?
Oh, well, you know, strangely enough, this time of year we have very little demand for it, but in the summer we serve it like crazy.
Do you do the famous lobster sandwiches?
Yeah, lobster rolls, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Lobster salad.
Yeah. Of course, you know, this day and age with things being jetted all over the place, I went to visit my dad in Ohio a couple of years ago, and I thought I'd bring him a treat and drag some lobsters out there, and I walked into the local grocery store when I landed in Ohio, and the lobsters were cheaper there than they were here.
What's wrong with this picture?
Oh, nothing certain in this world, is it?
Anymore.
Oh, that's terrible. Well, I was just in Oregon, and it was sunnier and warmer than it is in Southern California, so what? nothing is certain.
Yeah. I have a redirected question, if it's appropriate time.
Sure.
You talked about tiredness and livening up the menu and that sort of thing. We are also blessed with a lot of long-term staff.
Mm.
A waiter at, you know, 19 years, 5 years is common. Managers at 20, 23, 5 years is common for a server and bartender. How, you know, are there, and we're busy almost all the time, you know, so a Monday in January is busy and a Monday in July is busy. How do you get back to the, here comes a customer? When being busy is
yeah, you gotta get them off rote and automatic.
And just, well, yeah, it's 6 o'clock. Of course we're full. You know, into that delight of, wow, somebody's going, hey, you're here.
I'll wade in on that one.
Yeah, Bill, okay. Come on.
I think part of it, my whole premise behind word of mouth is that people love to know things that other people don't know. So when your staff knows things that your guests don't know, it's fun to tell them because they look good. And when your guests know things that their friends don't know, they tell their friends because it makes them look good to their friends. If your crew goes out there with something new, ooh, I got something cool for you, you didn't know this. And maybe it's a new wine, maybe it's a new dish, maybe it's a new, it's a not on the menu thing, some little secret. It's kind of fun to go out and tell people secrets. So that's part of it. Or they've got something new to try, some new thing that you're new technique to do, or, you know, let's see if we can do this, or let's try to do that kind of thing. Just something to throw a new little twist into it. Not a lot. I mean, you don't want to freak them out. But you know, here's something new, and here's something new, and what about this? And here's, you know, the more new things they've got, the more it's easier it is to keep the energy level up because it's like, ooh, this is exciting.
And with a 35-year-old restaurant, people don't expect the new. So Bill's right. You know, it's wow. My Five Crowns. I was just there the other night working with them, and they just rolled out souffles, and they're just having the more fun. They had a coconut, and they're getting all ready for the islands. They had a coconut or what's the coconut?
Pina colada.
Yeah, pina colada souffle, and oh, they were just all having a big time with it. So,
go out there and try to sell dessert first. I mean, that's fun.
Tim, do you have a lot of problems with negativity with staff that have been there that long, like it's old hat and they just...
You know, they're way too good for me to describe it as negativity, but
certain blasé.
Apathy might be, you know.
Been there, done that.
It's not that active as an
bored
activity.
Bored almost,
but,
or just...
Yeah, kind of...
Do they have pins?
No.
Well, that would be something. I would give everybody a 5-year pin and then let it grow so that people talk to them about it. Sometimes the... Bill, what do you think about that? A 5-year pin? And
well, it depends. You
get a diamond.
You can go crazy with the... Oh, yeah. For that kind of thing, I've always liked that. Some places go really nuts with you get a pin for this and a pin for that. I mean, I didn't want to turn it into Fridays.
Oh, no. I mean a good-looking gold pin that's a 5-year pin with a person's name on it, and then each 5 years they get a diamond in it. So the guy that's there 19 is coming up for his 20th, you know, and mm-hmm. kind
all
of thing
like... All things
being
equal, it's probably enough to stick around for the extra year.
And where there's, you know, I think the customers are very impressed with that, and I know when California Pizza Kitchen, which you're nothing like, I'm not comparing you in any way, except that they put names on their kids, and they put where they were from, and the kids were hopping all over the country. And that really worked.
Yeah, Disney does that. We sort of stole that idea on the name tags, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah, we take the name tags and just put a year, a star for every year that they're here.
Yes.
And then when they're here for 5 years, then they get a gold name tag. So they, you know, they all count stars, and people, guests ask them, you know, why they have 3 stars. They can share that they've been here 3 years, that's why.
And at Lowry's, the prime rib, they have a I'm trying to see if I can think what it looks like. It's a picture frame. It's a nice, handsome, antique picture frame, and it's an employee sort of a thing, but it's handsomely done. It's not, you know, no Chotsky, no things stuck up on it like a bulletin board. And it has the employee of the month, and it's got a hand, somebody, a real photographer comes and takes a picture. Because you really have to honor these employees because they're your business because you don't want them to have call business and their own customers and remember the customers' names. And so probably all this, Tim, you've done before and you know all about, been there, done that, but keeping them fresh, keeping them meeting new people. Are you collecting email data?
Not a lot.
Not a lot.
No. I mean, yeah, let's say no.
Bill, you're the expert on this. How could they ask if you've ever been here before? Is this your first time? That's tricky, isn't it, in an old restaurant where you have so many regulars?
It is, unless you've got something new. I mean, there needs to be some purpose for the question.
Yes.
So, say, you know, when was the last time you were here? Would be another way to do
that
it.
That would be a nice way to do it.
And
then say, are you on our database, and would you like to receive our special announcements or our calendar of events or our, you know what I mean, and then have them begin to collect that data.
Yeah. Excellent.
I really think, just like they always have told us in business, that you're here all about your Rolodex. I wish I'd listened harder when I was 20. I think now you're all about your email address. And that is so powerful once you get that email address.
Well, if you get permission, I know some people that are having pretty good luck with send out an email in the morning and say, here's what we're doing for lunch. And here's the lunch specials. And.
Well.
You know, it catches them about 10 in the morning, and that's when they're making their lunch decision.
Well, I've got another one that has entertainment, changing entertainment, and they tell us when the entertainment is and what it is. And another one is taking a group of people to Italy, you know, a tour, and they advertise the tour. And so that, or if you're doing birthdays, do you do a big thing over birthdays, Tim?
Just a piece of mud pie and a sparkler.
Mm-hmm.
I've got an idea for a birthday program that is good.
So that might be a way to get the staff excited about collecting birthdays.
Yeah, so just anything that's new, anything that's different, anything that, you know, gee, we haven't done this before. Because you've got to break up the routine. The same environment that causes your staff to stick around and be productive and get excited is the same environment that causes your guests to come back more often and be excited.
Tim, if you're doing $7 million, how much do you hope you could? How much do you think you could do? What do you have the potential to do? You think with that many seats?
I actually don't have a goal to increase sales that much.
You don't.
As heretic as that sounds, we're going to be. It's not how much we do next month. It's how much we're going to do 10 years from now. And I'm much more concerned about getting into that place in people's hearts and minds and legendary status and things like that. And also improving our processes, is improving the efficiencies and that.
Do you have families and children?
Yes.
Do you have a major thing you do for children?
No.
Okay, that might be another one, because children are out with dinner more and more. And you talk about legend and being having memories of being at the Smuggler's Inn.
Yes.
I think that's something right there, children and families, because it's the grandparents and the parents that bring the children and come back year after year and celebrate their. So celebrations have to be big at the Smugglers Inn, the anniversary, the birthday, the, you know, all of that. I think that might be a place for you to massage your
good stimulation,
your legendary
thank
status.
You. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. What are we smuggling? What's the story? Who smuggled what?
It's just that kind of chart house feel of woodsy and dark and lots of chopped up corners and booths. And
well, it's never too late to make up a story, you know.
That's true. Thank you. I'm going to have to go to another meeting.
All right, I think we've got our... We've
I really appreciate it.
Victor, we're not bad for a free session, guys.
No kidding.
That's why you got to come to Seattle. So we'll
thank
do this
you.
For a couple of days.
I will do my best.
All right.
Okay.
No pressure.
Good to talk to you
no
again,
pressure.
Phil.
Bye,
okay,
Tim.
Guys.
Take care.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Peter?
Yes.
Always good to talk to you, my friend.
Good to talk to all of you. Phyllis and I look forward to meeting you.
Yes. Bring some stuff with you.
Will do.
Bye.
Take care.
Okay.
Bye-bye.